Oh, beloved daughter, is that you? Yeah. And if you are watching us live, we welcome you. It's a joy to have you here with us today. Just before I jump into that message, let me say just a couple of things to anybody watching this or who would watch later. Find the right church for you. It's great to watch videos, YouTube, all of those things, social media, but find a real live church. Find a place you can gather and worship and find your tribe, find your family. Amen? Let me just say really quickly as well, if you're watching this and you're not yet a Christian, I've been doing this now for a few months and I love this. I want to lead souls to Jesus every single day. And if you're watching this and you're not yet a believer, maybe you've got questions or doubts or how does it work? And what? Yeah, I'd love to set up a Zoom call with you or a phone call at your convenience and talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ because he loves you and his heart is open to you. Amen? Good. If you've got a Bible, I'm going to read a lot of scriptures today, but maybe you could go to Matthew 11 and also Colossians chapter 2. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. Hi, Linda. Let me just say as well, it's great to have Melissa here. Yeah. I haven't seen her for a while, and her son, who's somewhere there, but it's a joy to have you here with us. She's visiting from Colorado, and amen. How many of you were here last week? How many of you were not here last week? Where were you? No. How many of you don't know where you were last week? We'll pray for you. Let me do a little quick recap, and honestly, I feel, you have to excuse me, but I feel slightly out of control, and I'm not sure I ever want to go back again. It's just a psalm that's been exploding in me all week. I think it's Psalm 45. It says, my heart is overflowing with a good theme. And I had an encounter with Jesus, I think about 2 weeks ago, that I'm always aware, like cliche, it's changed my life. And this is a life-changing product. I really feel my life has been changed. And I know I can look back at a time I was born again and go, yeah, I remember being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I remember getting a revelation of faith that really changed my life. And again, I want to be clear, you don't judge things by your emotions. But is it okay if I talk about emotions are real at the same time? I just feel right now like I've never felt this way in my life about Jesus. I've never felt this way. I've never felt as much peace. I've never felt as much joy. I've never felt as much overflow in my life. I've never felt as much rest in my life. It literally feels like the Lord has come and switched everything off in my life. And that it feels like, you know, I've been carrying a bunch of things, and I'm still carrying things and responsible. It's like the Lord says, give me the whole thing. And I feel like I've gone weightless. I mean, you know, figuratively speaking, I'm in a glorious place with the Lord. And it's getting worse. Again, I want to get to that in a moment, and I appreciate, you know, I'm a faith guy. I'm not into, like, what you feel and what you feel, but God wants us to feel things. Just don't make feeling the thing on which you base life. The goal of having faith for healing is not that you'd have faith for healing. It's so you'd be healed. Faith should produce an experience. Jesus said, he that believes hath, the old King James said. And I've just gone through this revolution. Again, it's about 2 weeks ago, and it just keeps getting crazier and deeper and deeper and deeper. And I'd really just want to talk about that some more today and some of the principles and what happened to me. And I just believe this is for everybody. I really do. And I believe, and I'm cautious, and I don't want to say nervous because I'm not nervous, but I am. I'm aware how easy it is to have a dramatic experience and have this season where you're living on the mountaintop and it becomes just a moment in your past and after a while you go back to normal.
A normal Christian.
I don't want to be a normal Christian. I'm sick of being a normal Christian. I don't ever want to be a normal Christian. And I don't want you to be normal Christians. If you want a normal church, there's a list at the back. Leave. I don't mean in that way, but God, rescue us from the normal Christian life. And I'm talking about the normal charismatic evangelical Christian life. And I began last week talking about this. How did Jesus really live? Let's just leave aside the cross in a moment, because what he suffered at the cross was in my place, in your place. But how did Jesus literally live? Not just for 3.5 years, but for 33.5 years. Jesus was constantly connected with the Father. Do you know Jesus lived at perfect peace 24/7? He wasn't trying to have peace. He wasn't trying to deal with stress. He lived in this utter flow of the Father's peace in him. Jesus lived in perfect joy all the time. He lived in perfect victory over. Do you know, I don't think Jesus ever tried to fight to be righteous. Do you know, I don't think Jesus fought temptation. Now, at times, Satan would come and he'd go, it is written. It is written, and have to do that as we do. But Jesus lived in this glorious. He said in John 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. He's abiding in the Father, and the life of the Father's flowing through him. And at Calvary, Jesus gave up his life for you and I, that we might have that same life. You know, he was in the Father throughout all eternity. He comes onto the earth, and he's still abiding in the Father. And then he invites you and I to come and abide in him. I said this last week, at the beginning of Jesus' walk, he went to the disciples and said, follow me. Come on, just like, follow, where are we going? I'm not going to tell you, follow me. And they became followers of Jesus. And yet at the end of the Gospels, he doesn't say, follow me anymore. He says, abide in me. Abide in me. He says, I am the vine, you are the branch. He who abides in me. Hallelujah. And I've just had this experience of, again, the experience, not just the theology of abiding in him like I've never had in my life. And I'll be honest, words just fail me. I woke up this morning laughing at 5 a.m. I went to Panera Bread before I came here. I was here at 7 a.m. having a coffee. I was the only one in there except one of the staff, and I was laughing. I think they were laughing at me, but I was laughing. Hallelujah. And I just feel I've been completely set free. And I'm not even sure I needed to be set free of it. We say, what was going on in your life? I don't know. It wasn't some big, horrible thing going on, but hallelujah. Jesus wants us to abide in him, and he wants that same life flowing through us. And I think this is the normal Christian life. I think Jesus came to give us the life that he had. Not a little taste of it. You can have 5%, but when you die, then you'll get it all. That's what religion has taught us. The Bible says he who abides in him should walk even as he walked, 1 John 2, verse 6. As he is, so are we in this world, 1 John 4, 17. And I just want to share some of the steps I've been taking. I have been reading like crazy in the last couple of weeks. Every day, the Amazon guy is just bringing me books and books and books. And I've been reading some things I've never really read before. The more about the holiness movement in the mid-19th century. And I am just on this holiness bent right now. But it's not about legalism and don't do this. God looks at all of our attempts to be holiness and to be holy and says, forget it. Don't even bother trying. Yeah, God says, like, be holy because I am holy. He wants his holiness to flow in and flow through us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Take my words today and breathe life on them. Let my words be your words, and your word is always spirit and life. And Lord, I pray you'll open our eyes to see glorious things from your word today. In Jesus' name. Come on, let me read a few passages. You guys know this, but Matthew 11, I'll read in verse 25. It says, at that time, Jesus answered, said, Father, I thank you, Lord of heaven and earth. You've hidden things. Say hidden things. You've hidden things from the wise and prudent and have revealed things. Say reveal things to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. Nobody knows the Son except the Father, nor does anybody know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Guys, I'm going to come back to this in a minute, but if you, the key to this life I'm talking about, all of us here, if you're born again, you're not born again because you went looking for God. He came looking for you. And at some stage in your life, maybe it's different for every one of us, but it's really all the same. You were born again because God revealed himself to you. Maybe somebody gave you a tract, maybe somebody shared something, but it wasn't an intellectual argument. At some stage in your life, God pulled the veil back. I grew up in a Christian home with awesome Christian parents, got dragged to church every week, good family. They loved God. They did all the right things. To me, it was just like background noise. It was just, this is who we are. We're in the north of Europe. We're Protestants. If I'd be in Italy, I'd be a Catholic. It's just who we are. And then one day, my dad took me to a Billy Graham crusade. I was 14. And it wasn't Billy Graham's message. The Spirit of God pulled the blinders off of my eyes. And I sat there in my seat going, oh my God, it's real. It's real. It's not a fairy. It's not Hans Christian Andersen, the emperor has clothes, it's actually real. And I could just feel God like pulling me towards him, saying, come to me. And you're born again because you got a revelation of Jesus. Not because you joined a church or signed a thing, or I think I intellectually agree with these propositions. Phooey! You got a revelation of Jesus. I think, though, the revelation, I think we need a revelation to come into the kingdom of God, but we need a revelation to continue in the kingdom of God. And if anybody's sitting here today or watching online saying, Graham, I'd love to have that experience, you don't need, we'll pray for you, but it's not like my prayers that will give you that. You've got to have God pull the veil off your eyes. And I'm going to read some scriptures today that I've read, I can quote, I've preached on 100 times. I know these, but it's like the Lord just pulled back the veil and I go, I get it. It takes the Spirit of God to reveal things to us. And you say, well, God reveals things to those he wills. Amen. Well, yes and no. Jesus said, the Father hides things from the wise and prudent. Guys, I love you, but at times, some of us who've been Christians for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, we think we've become experts. And I'm talking about me, not you, okay? But it's like we go, oh, I know that. I've heard that. I know that. Been there, done it. I can teach on that. And we can. And the danger is we come to Jesus like little babies. Unless you come as a child, you won't even get into the kingdom of God. But after a while, we're actually pretty good, aren't we? We know a thing or two, and we become the wise and the prudent. Well, I didn't want to. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Linda is there at the back. We were in France with Linda and Steve and some of our Aussie friends. One day we went wine tasting. I apologize, I'm not a Pentecostal. Now, in the village I used to live in France, they'd have wine tasting every year. They'd have a big long table, and all the farmers would bring their wine. But traditionally, we were in a high-class, cool place. But in real France. But in the villages in France, you just got a big table, and these farmers bring the, and they have a bucket underneath. And everybody takes this wine, spits it in the bucket. And then you go along, and you try another, spit it in the bucket. Can I say, some of us, we become like truth tasters. We come to God's word. Somebody says something great, and we go, oh, I know that one. I know that little boy. And spit it down. That's a great sermon, Pastor. Thank you for a good message. And we become hearers of the word and not doers, deceiving our own selves. Sometimes you don't need Satan to deceive you. We can deceive ourselves when we hear the word, when we say, yay, man, and we go out and forget what manner of man we are. And I think Jesus says, Father, you put the blinkers on people who think they're experts, who think they've got you all figured out. I know this. I've got it all worked out. I'm the man. And Jesus said, Father, when somebody comes to you like a little baby, you pull the blinders off. So I appreciate this sermon makes no sense to me, because what I'm really telling you is God has a life for you that you may not be fully living. now, not one day in heaven. And I'm actually, what I'm talking about here has very little to do with anointing for ministry and the power and the gifts of the Spirit. I'm talking about you and Jesus. I think God wants us to live in a place for the rest of our life where the peace of God so dominates us that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, Isaiah 26, verse 3. Jesus said, peace I give you, my peace give I unto you. Am I saying you'll never have a problem? No. Of course, we're going to go through winter and summer and Trump and Biden and good times. You know, this is going to happen and that's going to happen and people are going to love you and accuse you. That's exterior. Jesus never said you wouldn't go through things. In fact, he said you would. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation. But he didn't stop there. He said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. Oh, Jesus, you've overcome. And then he says, if you're born of God, you'll overcome the world. And this is the victory which overcomes the world, even our faith. 1 John 5, verse 4. And God, I believe he wants us to have a life where this, his peace is in us all the time, where his love, his joy, they're called the fruits of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And I forgive the poverty of my language. I feel like I'm standing under Niagara Falls. Hallelujah. And there's this deluge of living water. Come on, let's Matthew 11, let's keep reading here. Jesus says in verse 28, come to me. Say, come to me. Would you do that? Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I am gentle, meek, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come on, let me ask you a question today. When Jesus said, I will give you rest, what did he mean? Did he mean what he said? Is it just some like promise to put on the fridge door or some cute calendar? I think he literally meant what he said. He says, I will give you rest, a rest that's real. Again, not a rest from work. I do nothing. No, that's not a, how many of you know that's boring anyway? It's rest in work. It's rest everywhere you go. It's rest in your soul. And I just, so many of us, and I, come on, I'm a pastor. I know I talk to people every day. It's like in our souls, there's this constant clamor, constant things going on. Again, forgive me if I say this poorly, but, you know, I'm quite a capable person. Complimenting myself. No, I'm the problem is I'm actually good at doing a whole bunch of things, and I'm not lazy, and I work hard. And there's a lot of things I can do. The danger is you end up living your own Christian life, and you end up relying on yourself. And at times, because I see like God's enabled me to do this and the other, you end up relying upon that. And I don't care if you're the most capable person or the most incapable person in the state of Massachusetts. God does not want your efforts. He doesn't want your great capacities. It's not you. God saying, you try your best and I'll come and sprinkle some Holy Ghost fairy dust on top. Jesus said, I cannot myself do nothing. It's the Father in me who does the work. And then he did everything. Hallelujah. And I tell you guys, I've just come to this realization how much I was doing. And I was doing it with a good heart and unto the Lord and all those kind of things. But it was me doing it rather than him in me doing it. And I tell you, he wants to give us a rest that is, it's like nothing you ever smoked, baby. I'm sorry. Can I say that, though? Serious point. How often, I'm talking about Christians, I'm talking about pastors, different people, how often people are looking for things, and it may not be something you smoke but or drink, but things to fill the soul. It's like we're a Christian, we speak into, but we're still thirsty. And we're looking for something to satisfy us. I see that at times with ministry, and it's like, I won't say that, I'm going to shock people, but it's like this panting, this desire, I've got to be in ministry, I've got to be seen, and like, God wants to use people and all that, but it's not, it won't satisfy you. And whenever you have that idol in front of you that you like run after, and like your goal in life is to serve God or preach or be used, it's not the point. It won't satisfy the longing of your soul. Psalm 107 says he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry with good things. I tell you, God wants to give us a water that satisfies us. And every week, at least for August, I'm going to be coming back to, I think I've been looking at this, there's five things I've been doing to get into this place. Number one, I think you've actually got to believe this is possible. I think you've actually got to believe it's possible to have a Christian life. Let me say a weird thing. I don't know if I've sinned once in the last 2 weeks, but I honestly can't remember. And I can't remember. It's like I've got this deluge of God's holiness flowing through me. I'm not saying I can't sin. I'm just saying God wants you to surf this wave of Holy Spirit in you. I'm not saying we can't sin. I believe we can all, it's always possible while we're in this flesh to sin. What I'm saying is God doesn't want us. Whenever you think you can fight sin, just unpack those words. What you're saying is you can fight sin. Whenever you're resisting temptation, you're resisting temptation. Jesus never asked you to resist temptation. I can do this. I can win. And you usually can win over some areas in your life. But then it's like you play whack-a-mole with your flesh. And you like push this under and you push this, and Satan's like, beep, beep. And something pops up over here. And like you run in and I will. You know, your willpower won't win over sin. God does not want you to fight sin. He wants you to jump off, jump from yourself into him and rest in Jesus. And there's something glorious in saying, Lord, I am completely incapable of living this life. You've got to live it in me. I bring nothing to the table. It's not 1% Graham and 99% Jesus. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I think there's five things I've been doing in my life. And I want to take you through these. Number one, you've got to see it's possible. And I think God wants you to have a life. I believe he wants you to have a vision today that, not talking about externals, but in your inner man, you can dwell in that peace and love and glory and holiness and be one with him, absolutely one with him, union with Christ. You've got to see it. You've got to believe it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it's like I believe God wants us to stand on a, like Joshua did, stand on a cliff and look, oh, there's the promised land. Because there's no greater promised land than this. Amen. And I see how often I've used my faith to pay bills and to get somebody healed and to move in a gift to the Spirit. All of those things are true and I love them. But we need to apply faith to this, the life of Jesus. Come on, five things. Number one, we've got to believe it's possible. Number two, we've got to come to Jesus, which is what I'm going to speak about today. Number three, I spoke about this last week. I struggled with this for about 5 days before I said yes. Just doing a recap from last week. I'll be honest with you guys. I've never really done this in my entire life until about 2 weeks ago. I think step number three is we've got to absolutely lay our lives on the altar and consecrate our life to God. Come on, just track with me for a second. Maybe I'm just a really unholy guy. Nobody say amen. I'd never completely done that. I thought I had. I realize now, throughout most of my Christian life, what I've done is I've dedicated my life to the Lord. I've wanted to serve him. I've said, Lord, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I want your power in my life. But it's still me in control. It's like I'm driving, I'm missionary, I'm on my way to serve Jesus, but I'm the one behind the wheel. And it's like there's an unconscious part of me that always says, well, I'll obey him, whatever I do. But the idea of completely giving over control of my whole life to him, and to be honest, I've seen people preach and teach this in a very kind of religious, we've got to die of ourselves, lay ourselves. And I don't think it means that. And I have seen people teach this in a religious way and gone like, yuck, that's just like not, you know, that's not who we are and not what God wants us to do. But I'll be honest, I've missed something. I think the Lord wants us and has called me to utterly lay our lives down before him. And I don't mean we don't take decisions and we're not. What I'm saying is we make him Lord. Not Savior, not healer. Amen to Savior and healer. But absolute Lord. And I'll be honest, I had to come to the place, Lord, I'm incapable of following you, of obeying you. He doesn't ask us to do it. Here's the problem, though. To the measure Jesus is Lord, to that measure, his life will flow in and flow through you. And I realized that there's many parts of my life, it wasn't that we're full of sin. I was serving God, but I was serving God. Do you see what I mean? It's like I dedicated my life to him, but this is under my control, Lord. I'm going to do it for you, but it's my decision. And I felt the Lord say to me, Graham, I want you to hand over everything. Come on, key number four. Here's what I missed as well. It's interesting. I was talking with some of my friends, Linda's around there somewhere, in France about this. I'd heard a lot of people talk about consecration and holiness, but the teaching I heard, it always went a little bit like this. You've got to seek God and seek God and seek God and confess all your sins and then confess some more sins and confess sins you've never done. And you've got to seek God and seek God and seek God. And maybe the day will come one day when the Lord will come and say, you are now ready. You are now fully consecrated. And you've got to wail and, you know, you've got to sort of wait for some feeling of fire to come and burn the sin out of you and some experience, some seeking after holiness. And in the 1980s, when I was a teenager, I was serving God. I remember reading a lot of books that taught about this. Charles Finney wrote a book on revival, and it was, you know, it was all about seeking God for months and months and months, and you were looking for an experience that would tell you God has now accepted you and you're holy and you'd confess. And there was always that sense of, is there some sin I haven't confessed? Maybe there's something somewhere. And people used to give out lists, sins of omission, sins of commission, and, you know, endlessly seeking after. And we'd always be like, is it working? Well, not really. How's it going for you? And there'd always be, we were always looking for the experience of the guy who wrote the book and going away disappointed. And it was such a revelation to me, and I've got it, it works. You do this by faith. Hallelujah, you do this by faith. And it's like the light bulb went off in my heart, which said, how do you consecrate your life wholly to God? You can do it in about 1 minute. You come before him and say, Lord, I just give you everything. I don't know even what that means, but I lay my everything down before you. And then you believe by faith, not feeling, that he's done it, that he's accepted. And you can go away saying, it's completely done. What feeling do you have that bears witness to? That's none of your business. Guys, I've got lots of feelings right now, but it didn't start with God coming and going, blah, blah, blah. It started with me just saying, I will take you at your word. Hallelujah. And what I never saw, and I get that faith message, I really do, but it's like I'd applied it to many peripheral things and important things, but not maybe the main event. I'm just not criticizing anybody else, but me. It's like that I had to come to that place where every time I read those words, I will give you rest. It's literally like Jesus walks into my room in his glory, looks at me and says, Graham, I will give you rest. Why? Because I believe his promise. Because I believe his promise. I've got his love overflowing in my heart. You say, what does it feel like? Mind your own business. Read Romans 5, verse 5. The love of God is being shed abroad in your heart. And it's by faith we come into an experience. Come on, let me read a passage here. Colossians 2. Just listen to this. Colossians 2, verse 6. Listen along, if you will. It says, as you have received Christ Jesus, so walk in him. How many of you received Christ? It was utterly by faith through grace. You didn't do anything. You didn't bring Jesus any sacrifice, any little pigeon or dove or sheep. You brought him nothing. You called in faith and believed his promise. He said, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You did that not even being sure if it was real, and God saved you. But as you receive Christ, that's the way you walk in Him on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. It's that same faith. It's that same principle. As you receive Christ, so walk in Him, being rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith. How do you do it, Paul? As you've been taught, you abound in thanksgiving. Come on, key number four is simply faith. Key number five is you thank Him. You don't get up and say, oh, do I still feel joy? I think I feel a little buzz, but it could be an espresso. How do you walk in these things? Hallelujah. The same way you came in, you believe. And I'll be honest, guys, I'm still like working up my theology in this, but I believe we've actually got to come, and every week I want to give people a chance to do that and utterly consecrate and lay our lives down before Him. And I don't think it needs to be some big dramatic thing. It may be, it may not be. That's not the point. The point is you obeying His word and believing He does it. And I think we've got to, by faith, receive that life, believe. How do you abide in Jesus? Well, you believe you're abiding in Jesus. Come on, let me say that again. How do you abide in Jesus? You believe that you're abiding in Jesus. You see, the good news is you are abiding in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. In your spirit, you're abiding with Him right now. But He wants to give rest for our soul. How do we bring this into that soulish realm? You believe. What we do is we come, and I shared upon this earlier. I've been living such a glorious place in my daily walk with Jesus. It's like God's completely set me free from it. I tell you one thing that's really helping me, though. It's like I sit quietly before Him. I shut down all of the clamor and the chatter and got to speak in tongues and get a shofar and blow around the mountain and bind this and bind that and bind that. And that's not me. But so are all these dead works. It's like what I've been doing every day is sitting before the Lord. And just sometimes it takes a while for your flesh to quieten down. And then I'll just take some of these glorious promises. Come on, I am the vine, you are the branches. I'll give, and it's like sit and let Holy Spirit speak them to me. Can I say this, guys? Again, I'm the faith guy. I love confessing the word, but so often we're doing that in a very mental ascent way, like my stripes are being a bit, and it's like it's sort of at the noise level. You've got to get it into the heart. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, Romans 10, verse 10. And what we've got to do is get some of these truths into our heart. I think it's Exodus 23. Oh, that's my new one this morning. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. How cool is that? Come on, let me read a few verses here today. Just listen or follow along if you will. But Jesus said, come to me, all you who will labor. Say, come to me. Matthew 19:14, Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Say, come to me. Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Mark 8:34, Jesus called the people to himself and his disciples, and he said to them, whosoever desires to come to me, say, come to me. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. John 5:39, you search the scriptures, and in them you think you have eternal life. Yet these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me. Say, come to me. John 6:34, let's go to 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me, say, come to me, shall never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me. John 7:37, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anybody thirsts, let him... Come on, key number one, I want you to see this. We're nearly done here, guys, but I want to mess with your head today. I'd love you to look at your Christian life and go, yuck. I'm not saying you've got a bad Christian life. What I'm saying is if you're tired and weary and you're just like, Yeah, get annoyed with that. Get sick of it. If we're okay living in Lodibar, if we're okay living in like the swampland of, oh, I'm just a Christian, and one day, bye-bye pie in the sky, when I die, everything will be better. Can I lovingly suggest to you, as Christians, we run around and we're like, inner heal me here, and cast this out of me here, and give me a teaching here, and, you know, this little trick, and if I fast enough and pray enough, and, you know, we're constantly looking for things to solve this emptiness. I want you to look at your Christian life, if that's you, it was me, to a great degree, and say, like, yuck, I'm not happy, I'm dissatisfied. God will only fill the hungry with good things. And our hunger is not us saying, God, would you give? And God saying, no, I won't. But our hunger is actually us acknowledging, Lord, I need more. I'm not satisfied. I'm not living where I could be. Number one, I want you to see it. Number two, I want you to come to Jesus. I think we come to him for salvation. I think we've actually got to come to him today. You can come to Jesus. We'll have a come to Jesus moment. I think we've actually daily got to come to him. And again, maybe you guys have got this, and I'm just a late learner or whatever, but I think so often we have a quiet time. There's spiritual things we do, and there's so much noise and scaffolding. There's so many training wheels and like support systems. We've got to have a candle burning and soaking music, and we do this, that, and the other. Do you know, we've got to bring our soul to Jesus. We've got to come to him and drink. We've got to come to him, not to church, not to the pastor, not to this book or that. I'm not against anything, you know, not to this conference, that teacher. All that stuff's good if it helps you come to Jesus. The danger is we read the book conference, we come to the Sturbridge Room, and then we go away saying, oh, there's some really good thoughts. And we're meeting with God at a sort of intellectual level. Come on, imagine there's a visitor in the church and they've never met my wife. She's real. I could tell you a thing or two about her. And imagine if I talked to you about her for 15, 20 minutes. We won't be that long. You'd go away saying, oh, she's French and she's tall and she knows how to rebuild houses in France and she's pretty cool and she doesn't like Graham's Mustang, but I'm kidding. You know, I'd tell you all about her, and you could go away saying, she's so much clearer to me because I know this, 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 but you haven't met her. And I know we've met Jesus, but I lovingly want to suggest, I think a lot of our relationship with Jesus exists in the ideas about him realm rather than the, like, we've come and drink and we're abiding in him and we're one in him. And I really believe, guys, there is a wave of holiness that is going to break out on the church right now. We're living in a generation that sin doesn't bother them because they don't believe there is a God and there isn't any sin. And we're living in a generation where sin is what hurts other people. Sin is when you hurt my feelings. Sin is when you disagree with me. We're really liberal as long as you agree with me. There's no religion more intolerant than secular humanism. And my point is that the church in America doesn't need to be lecturing people. We need to be walking in a holy place in God. And it's not so much out where we think God's this. And I agree. I know what I think is right and wrong and sexuality and all that. I'm not disagreeing with you. My point is our call isn't to go about sort of like trying to intellectually ram that down people's throat. Our call is to be abiding in such a holy place with the Lord. Smith Wigglesworth, you know, the stories of him like being on a train with his little Bible reading. People would come into the carriage. He'd just keep reading. And after a while, people would be like, you convict me of sin. You know, people would just repent when they get near him because, come on, the Lord's leading the church. Not one individual, one great hero, but corporately up the mountain into that place of holiness. Thank you, Jesus. Guys, I've just seen this in a new light. I think in terms of our worship, one of the, probably I'd say the major blockage in our worship is that when we're coming to Him, but we haven't, it's like there's parts of our life we haven't consecrated to Him. And we're trying to worship Him, but it's like, Lord, I give you my everything except my leg. You know, it's like we're bringing Him, but you can have all of me, but you can't go in that room there or whatever. And I think there's this consecration. And there's a holy place He wants to bring us to. How do we get there? Come on, I'm going to continue on this next week. But I want to say to you, come to Jesus. You say, Graham, I've come. I know, but come to Him every day. I don't mean in some religious way. You had a busy day. I understand that. But learn to come to Him and drink. He says, I am the living bread. Come down from heaven. Your fathers ate the manna and they're dead. The manna had a really short sell-by date. 24 hours, it got wormy. Jesus gives us living bread. And I think if we're going to, I think it's good to have a what the old folks call the crisis experience, like an experience where God, boom, does something dramatic in your life. I had one of those about 10 days, 2 weeks ago. But I want to stay there by every day coming to Him, by every day laying my life down before Him, by saying every day, Lord, I want you to have all of me. Well, Lord, every day I'm going to put my faith. The fact I experienced something yesterday, the faith of yesterday won't cut it today. You've got to come and build that faith. As you receive Christ, so walking, being rooted in faith, built in it. You've got to take this book and eat it. And I'm not talking about reading a million verses. Sometimes read half a verse and stay it. Learn to take a verse as you drive in your car, and you'll know when it's real, when it hits your heart, when it's life, when it's God breathed. Learn to say, Holy Spirit, take these words and make them real to me. Learn to stand in faith when you don't feel it and say, Lord, I thank you. I'm abiding in you. I think we've got to practice when we're being tempted, whatever that might be. And you know what? Satan's not that original. I could list every temptation everybody in this room has ever gone through in about 30 seconds. Ooh. And Satan loves to come and say, you're a really big, bad, terrible person, and you go through things other people. No, you don't. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That's it. Come on, and Satan's not that original. He comes and he uses our body to speak to us, our desires that God gave us that are righteous. There's nothing wrong with those. Our identity, our ego, our us, the things we see. And what we've got to do, you cannot protect yourself from temptation. You can go and live solo in a monastery on top of a mountain and you will still be tempted. Guys, we could dress every lady, every pretty lady in America in a black garb with just a little slip for here. Oh my God. How terrible. Go to the Muslim world, you'll see it. How many of you believe that has solved lust in the Muslim world? France is about 30% Muslim. Believe me, it doesn't. The problem with everything, whether that's anger or jealousy or irritation with somebody or all of those things we all go through, what we've got to do is stop trying to win it and just say, Jesus, I rest in you. You've got to do this through me. And our, guys, come on, nearly done it, but catch this. Our trying is unbelief. There remains a rest for the people of God. He who believes has entered into rest and has ceased from his own labors. Whenever you're fighting sin, you're fighting sin. And I don't care how great a Rocky you are, you're going to lose that battle sooner or later. Don't fight sin. Say, Jesus, you got mail. Jesus lives through me. Yeah, just give up. Let go and let God. Let God flow in and flow through you. The disciples said, what should we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus said, it's easy. Believe. Believe. Come on, let's pray together. And I want to, if you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus initially for that first time, you can do that here today. And I don't want anybody to feel embarrassed here, but I want to say, if you're here, if you're tired, if you're worn out, if you've tried to live your Christian life and you're like, God wants to set you free from that today. He wants you to lay those burdens down. He wants you to let go of that yoke of religion. But he doesn't want to just, you do your own thing. He wants you to be yoked to him. He says, learn of me, walk with me, learn how I walk, learn how I react, learn how I respond. And there's a learning process in being yoked to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's pray together. Father, I just thank you, and I love you, and I bless you. Hallelujah. Jesus. I am feeding from the living bread. I am drinking from the fountainhead. And whoso drinketh, Jesus said, will never, never thirst again. Lord, I thank you. When you said never, you mean never. When you say thirst, you mean anything. When you say shall, you mean shall. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let me ask real quick. Is there anybody here you've never encountered Jesus for that first time in your life? If you're here in the room and you've never made him Lord of your life, we'd love to pray for you today. I tell you guys, religion cannot save you. This church cannot save you. Being a Catholic, being a Protestant, being an Orthodox, being an even, nothing can save you except Jesus, the Savior. And if you're here in the room today and you're not sure you've done that, I want to tell you, the Bible says, well, the old hymn says, be very sure. Be very sure your anchor holds. He that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. Jesus didn't come to improve your life. He came to resurrect you. He doesn't come to make bad people good. He comes to make dead people live. And just while our heads are bowed, just for a quick moment, if you're here today and you've never taken that step, I'd love to pray for you now. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand up this morning. Anybody want to do that and say, hey, pray for me. I want to become a Christian. Yes, one last time. Anybody in the room? Well, that's wonderful. But I just want to take that moment. Could we stand on our feet this morning? And Lord, we come to you today. We come to Jesus. We come to the rock that is Christ Jesus. And Lord, we want living waters to satisfy our soul. And Lord, I pray again you'll take just some of those simple things I've shared today and just drop them into hearts. Father, I pray that you'll raise hope for people who may be discouraged, who've tried this and tried that and tried the other thing. And Lord, I thank you, you've got a life of victory. A life, your life flowing in and flowing through us. I thank you, Lord, you said in that day you'll know that I am in the Father, that you are in me, that I am in you. I thank you, Lord, you said he who loves me and loves my word, my Father and I will come and manifest ourselves in their life. Lord, we want the manifestation of God in our life this day. And I just speak your life, your blessing. I pray you'll take every person in this room, or even those watching online, and take us on that journey where we can say, like Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, yet I live. Not I, Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Guys, I want to say this. If you want to come and pray and just be, if you want to respond to some of the things I've been sharing here, I really invite you to come forward. Can I say this? I think at times we need to break some of the New England timidity or the shyness about coming forward and responding. And I'm from Old England. We're worse. But at times, my point is like, we shouldn't be afraid of coming and just getting on our knees, whatever that would mean, and doing business with God. And if you want to come and just cry out to God today. This is not an altar here, it's just a carpet, but this area here is open to you. We'd be happy to pray with you, or if you simply want to be on your own with God and do business with God, I tell you, He's here to meet people. Faith comes by hearing, and if you want to receive what I preached about today, Holy Spirit is here. We'd love to pray for you, but, you know, you need to come to Jesus. Amen. Guys, we love you. Hey, there is lots of food, I believe, downstairs, so please do stay.